Thank you. Love spoon, losing. Dear, can we speak about sorrow? About the sorrow from all the time spent apart. Dear, can we talk? Can I get a little closer to you? I just lost my earring, and about the sorrow from all the time I will spend without it. Dear, can we talk about loss? Losing is singing a song, but not singing all. Losing is longing for a group, but I cannot grind it. Losing is a family member I cannot recognize. They talk in the shape of lonely, and I can't hear. The word erases me. Behave, it rumbles. I coded a note, possibly unreadable. Quietly, I slid it into a loud piece of bell music. It suddenly appeared, and then suddenly disappeared. I carried the sound between my eyes. I saw a worried son guarded by a spoon. Childlike, I watched closely as it turned my code upside down. Once it was a sky that I could fall down from. It was appearing and disappearing. That was the core. I have gone through a number of considerations, gratitudes, and still I cannot shape myself. I'm still not grateful for my body. My shell is still not telling my story. I whisper, they, he, in the night. I can tell it will spill into my name. And sun shimmers on my ears, my earring is gone. I am a daughter, I am not. In a line I see speed, I receive it in the shape of love, a kind displacement between the cars, a shaking in my lips, an unfamiliar mud moves. Above me it tells me there is no sky I can fall down from. Just be carry the way that you are. Lay yourself down. Let the feathers fall. It's a kind song to carry. The spoon is a kind song to carry. Love spoon losing. It is a guardian of a common son. Thank you. Dear Onep, giant, before all these distances, I was never mute. Never, never, never, never, never. And here, never, never, never, never, never, never, never, never, month. I swallow my afterthoughts. I think this is my tree of representation. These are my drums. There are chairs. There was a chair. It was a drum. There are drums. There was a drumming. Drumming is just another word for loving. I was drumming all over you. A witness is a drum, is a vision. A vision is spelling. A rhythm is a silence, kick. I was kicking a hole in my name, kicking. A spell for words that cannot speak. A spell for words that cannot speak. I can never speak, never.
Thank you.
Welcome. Behind their voiceless attempt to breathe are muddy memories of a spin that left them and the surrounding world covered in mud. Can their whisper break the silence? Tune in to find out. Guard your ears and breathe deep as we begin speaking. The air is thick with the scent of spilled secrets, and our speaker refuses to let them remain voiceless. Single spark can change everything. We may just spill the muddy chest that lies beneath the broken. A hollow shell of a story just waiting for someone to dig into it with a spill of words. To listen closely as we hear the broken whispers of those who cannot express themselves. And perhaps with this gentle touch, we can bring the mud to life. Stay tuned for this and more on your favorite radio station in your secret ears. Their broken shell has turned into a hollow whisper. Their voice carrying This was the fan turning off. This is us saying goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yaşına. Umut onunla, sevinç onunla, gelecek onunla. Yükselsin diye erdemin bayrağı semalarımızda. 18'inde, ömrünün baharında. Yüreğine doldurup umudu, düştü hasretinin ardına. Erken büyüyor çocuklarımız. 16 yaşında direnişçi, 18'inde bir kahraman. Öyle bilge, öyle insan. Gözlerinde gökyüzünün yedi rengi. Haziran sabahında İstanbul, uyanıyor Gazi, uyanıyor Armutlu, Ok Meydanı uyanıyor, gün dönüyor, varoşlardan akıyor hayat, taze bir bahar havası sokaklarda, uyanıyor İstanbul, gencecik bir kızın, Sibel'in zafer sloganlarıyla. Bu haykırış, bu slogan, bu ses, tanıyor bu sesi insanlık. Binlerce yıl öncesinden, Anadolu köylerinden tanıyor. Baba İshak'tan, Demirci Kava'dan, Köroğlu'ndan, Bedrettin'den tanıyor. Pir Sultan'ın sesi bu, yüzyıllar öncesinden bugüne uzanan. Bir ana nasıl korursa yavrularını kötülüklerden, bir güvercin nasıl çırpınırsa yavruları için, öyle koruyor yoldaşlarını. Onun mayasında vefa var, özveri var, tereddütsüz kendini feda etmek var yolunu gözleyenlere. O feda kuşağının evladı, kaç kez geçti de ateş çemberinden, kaç kez sınadı da yüreğini kavgada, öyle aldı bu yükü omuzlarına. Geri çekiliyor vuruşa vuruşa, gece kondular sıralanmış yolu boyunca. Çiçekleniyor sokaklar o vuruştukça, gözler aralamış perdeleri, gir içeri diyor gözler, burası siper, burası vatan sana. Sırtından sıvazlıyorlar Sibel'i, gözlerimizden bir damla yaş olup akanlar. Dört mevsime, yedi iklime sorduklarımız, canımızdan çok sevdiklerimiz, kulağına eğiliyorlar ve skor bunların hesabını diyorlar. Bir vakit orman kurtuluklarına atılmanın, dipsiz kuyulara salınmanın, ahlaksızlıkların, namussuzlukların, sor bunların hesabını. Makineye kaptırılan kol için sor, üzerine kurşun yağan bedenler için sor. Güç veriyorlar, damarlarına taze kan oluyorlar, akacaklarını bile bile. Teslim olmadı ki Pir Sultan, teslim olmadı ki Hızır Paşa'ya, Mahir teslim olmadı ki Bedrettin, bir kez bile el pençe divan durmadı ki Seyit Rıza, dar ağacında kendi çekti ya ipini, çift havuzlarda, bağcılarda, nazlı nazlı dalgalanan bayrağımız, sabolarımız, niyazilerimiz hiç teslim olmadı ki. Yazmaz tarih kitapları bahşettiğimiz durumun önünde, ölüme, yarine hasret bir sevdalı gibi sarılıp öylece ölürüz de baş eğmeyiz yine de zulmün önünde. Ey evladını yitirmiş analar, ey şafak söktüğünde yola dizilip gecekondu sokaklarında çamura toza bulananlar, alnından akan terle toprağı işleyenler, bir dilim ekmek için gün doğumuyla gün batımını kör karanlık mahzenlerde yitirenler, ey işçiler, gökkuşağının renkleriymişçesine tamamlayanlar birbirlerini, Anadolu'ya can katanlar, halklarımız öpün, koklayın hasretle, vatan diye kucaklayın şimdi o gülen fotoğrafı, Sibel'i.
Parlayan güneş, yolumuzu Haykır acın ey halk, baş eğme haykır. Bir yol kavşağındasın ve ancak yaraların haykırışlarla onarılır. Bir yol kavşağındasın ve senin değişmek için çırpınıyor kaderin. Kuşan alnında biriken o kara teri, sırtında şakırdayan kırbacı kopar. Soluk al, ışıldat o mazlum yüreğini. Bak korlaştı acıların kozalandı. Ey halk, parçala şu nankör suskunluğu, baş kaldır artık. Sevginin ve öfkenin uğultusunu bağrına vura vura taşırken sana karşılık gözetmiyor o gencecik insanlar. Ne barbarın tehdidi, ne dişleri kıran elektrik, dalga dalga yayılan o rüzgarı durdurabilir. Bu direniş senin için ey halk, bu çığlık senin kollarınla. Yıkılsın şu köhne dünya ve coşkuyla yeniden kurulsun diye çınlatıyor hayatı. Bir yol kavşağındasın fakat mutlaka değişecek kaderin. Bunu bekliyor ıslak çukurlarda üşüyen şu yoksul çocuk. Bunu bekliyor gözevleri kurutulmuş analar. Bunu bekliyor zincirin oyduğu bilek. Bunu bekliyor açlık, kuraklık, ılık ılık akan kan. Bunun için en genç yerimizi ölümle tanıştırdık. Kuşan kendini artık, biraz da gövdeni yüreğinle kırbaçla. Ey halk, haykır acını, bu kara dumanı dağıt.
Namluların gölgesinde binlerce yürek sahip çıktı Sibel'e. Komutan binlerce el üzerinde sarı bir yıldızın ışığıyla uğurlandı. Halk evladını bağrına bastı. Şimdi sokakları yakıp kavuran, sadece gökyüzüne asılı duran güneşin sıcağı değil, bir halkın öfkesi yakıyor şimdi zulmün bağrını. Delikanlılarımız, genç kızlarımız, üzerine dünyanın en güzel türküsünün adı işlenmiş kırmızı fularlarını yüzlerine takıp, savurdukları ateş toplarıyla aydınlatıyorlar gecenin karanlığını. Şimdi cenk mevsimidir. Dağların heybetini alıp ardına yürüyenler, zindan karanlığına direnenler, Buca'da, Ümraniye'de destan yazanlar ve yeni destanlara bilenenler, Anadolu'nun her köşesinde zulmedenlerin düşlerini kara basanlara çevirenler, binlerce siber olup haykırıyorlar. Asıl siz teslim olun.
bayrağı çık sokağa, yüreğini koy barikata, sar şehirleri, haykır öfkeni, düşman yenilecek, zafer yakında. Bilek var vuruşmaya, soluk var harcanmaya, cephe var savaşmaya, zafer yakında. Can verilecek kardeş var hayatta, halkımıza can feda.
Was geschah? Der Stein trat aus dem Berge. Wer erwachte? Du und ich? Sprache, Sprache, mit Sternen, neben Erde, ärmer, offen, heimatlich. Wohin ging's, gen unverklungen? Mit dem Stein ging's, mit uns zweien, Herz und Herz, so schwer befunden, schwerer werden, leichter sein. In eins. 13. Februar. Im Herzmund erwartet Schibolett. Mit dir, Peuple de Paris, no parasant. Chefin zur Linken, er, Abadias, der Greis aus Huexa, kam mit den Hunden über das Feld. Im Exil stand weiß eine Wolke menschlichen Adels. Er sprach uns das Wort in die Hand, was wir brauchten. Es war Hirtenspanisch. Darin, im Eislicht des Kreuzers Aurora, die Bruderhand winkend mit der von dem wortgroßen Augen genommenen Binde Petropolis, der unvergessenen Wanderstadt, lag auch dir toskanisch zu Herzen. Friede den Hütten.
But doesn't competition lead to productivity? Yes, that's the problem. The competitive free market economy not only encourages productivity at all costs, it enforces it. For those who do not stay ahead of the competition are trodden under. And what costs exactly are we talking about here? For one thing, there are the long hours we spend at work, 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours a week, at the beck and call of bosses and or customers, working until we're well past exhausted in the race to get ahead. On top of this, there are the low wages we're paid. Most of us aren't paid nearly enough to afford a share of all the things our society has to offer, even though it is our labor that makes them possible. This is because in the competitive market, workers aren't paid what they deserve for their labor. They're paid the smallest amount their employer can pay without leaving them to look for better wages. That's the law of supply and demand. The employer has to do this because he needs to save as much extra capital as he can for advertising, corporate expansion, and other ways to try and keep ahead of the competition. Otherwise, he might not be an employer for long, and his employees will end up working for some more competitive master. There's a word for these long hours and unfair wages: exploitation. But that's not the only cost of productivity our competitive system encourages. Employers have to cut corners in a thousand other ways, too. That's why our work environments often aren't safe, for example. And if it takes doing things that are ecologically destructive to make money and stay productive, an economic system that rewards productivity above all else gives corporations no reason to resist trampling over wildlife and wilderness to make a buck. That's where our forests went. That's where the ozone layer went. That's where hundreds of species of wild animals went. They were burned up in our rat race. In place of forests, we now have shopping malls and gas stations, not to mention air pollution, because it's more important to have places to buy and sell than it is to preserve environments of peace and beauty. In place of buffalo and bald eagles, we have animals locked in factory farms, turned into milk and meat machines. And singing cartoon animals in Disney movies, the closest thing to wild animals some of us ever see. Our competitive economic system forces us to replace everything free and beautiful with the efficient, the uniform, and the profitable. This isn't limited to our own countries and cultures, of course. Capitalism and its values have spread across the world like a disease. Competing companies have to keep increasing their markets to keep up with each other, whether by persuasion or by force. That's why you can buy Coke in Egypt and eat at McDonald's in Thailand. Throughout history, we can see examples of how capitalist corporations have forced their way into one country after another, not hesitating to use violence where they deemed it necessary. Today, human beings on almost every corner of the world sell their labor to multinational corporations, often for less than a dollar an hour, in return for the chance to chase the images and wealth and status those corporations use to tantalize them. The wealth that their labor creates is sucked out of their communities into the pockets of these companies, and in return, their unique cultures are replaced by the standard-issue monoculture of Western consumerism. By the same token, people in these countries can hardly afford not to seek to be competitive and productive themselves in the same ways that those are exploiting them are. Consequently, the whole world is being standardized under one system, the capitalist system, and it is getting hard for people to imagine any other way of doing things. So, what kind of productivity does competition encourage? It encourages material productivity alone, that is, profit at any expense. We don't get higher quality products, for it is in the manufacturer's best interest that we return to buy from them again and again when our cars and stereos break down after a few years. We don't get the products that are most relevant to our lives in pursuit of happiness either. We get the products that are easiest and most profitable to sell. We get credit card companies, telemarketers, junk mail, cigarettes carefully designed to condemn 8 different addictive chemicals. In order that one company may outsell its competitors, we end up spending our lives working to develop, mass produce, and purchase things like garbage disposal units, conveniences that raise our standard of survival without actually improving our quality of life. Much more than better blenders of video games or potato chips, we need more meaning and pleasure in our lives. But we're all so busy competing that we don't even have time to think about it. Surely, in a less competitive society, we could still produce all the things we need without being forced to produce all the frivolous extra stuff that is presently filling up our landfills. And maybe then we could concentrate our efforts on learning how to produce the most important thing of all, human happiness. Don't tell me life would be better and more free in a system like the Soviet Union had. No, of course not. The Soviet Union's economy was no more democratic than the United States' economy is. In the United States, most capital is controlled by corporations, which in turn are able to exert control over the lives of their employees, and, to some extent, their customers and everyone else. In the Soviet Union, most capital was controlled by only one force, the government, which put everyone else at its mercy. And although there was no internal competition of the sort that drives Western corporations to such extremes of ruthlessness, the Soviet government still sought to compete against other nations in economic power and productivity. This drove them to the same extremes of ecological devastation and worker exploitation that are common in the West. In both systems, you can see the disastrous results of putting most wealth in the hands of a few people. What we need to try now is a system in which we can all have a share of the wealth of our society and a say in how we work and live. So, who exactly is it that gets power under capitalism? In a system where people compete for wealth and the power that comes with it, the ones who are the most ruthless in their pursuit are the ones who end up with the most of both. Of course. Thus, the capitalist system encourages deceit, exploitation, and cutthroat competition, and rewards those who go to those lengths by giving them the most power and the greatest say in what goes on in society. The corporations who do the best job of convincing us that we need their products, whether we do or not, are the most successful. That's how a company like Coca-Cola, which makes one of the most practically useless products on the market, was able to attain such a position of wealth and power. They were the most successful not at offering something of value to society, but at promoting their product. Coke is not the best tasting beverage the world has ever tasted. It is simply the most mercilessly marketed. The ones who are the most successful at creating an environment that keeps us buying from them, whether that means manipulating us with ad campaigns or using more devious means, are the ones who get the most resources to keep doing what they are doing. And thus, they are the ones who get the most power over the environments we live in. That's why our cities are filled with billboards and corporate skyscrapers, rather than artwork, public gardens, or bathhouses. That's why our newspapers and television programs are filled with slanted perspectives and outright lies. The producers are at the mercy of their advertisers, and the advertisers they depend on most are the ones who have the most money, the ones who are willing to do anything, even twist facts and spread falsehoods, to keep and get that money. Do a little research, and you'll see just how often this happens. Capitalism virtually guarantees that the ones who control what goes on in society are the greediest, the cruelest, and the most heartless. And since everyone else is at their mercy, and no one wants to end up on the losing side, everyone is encouraged to be greedy, cruel, and heartless. Of course, no one is selfish or hard-hearted all the time. Very few people want to be or get much pleasure out of it. But when they can avoid it, they do. But the average work environment is set up to make people cold and impersonal to each other. If somebody comes into a bagel shop starving and penniless, company policy usually requires that the employee send him away empty-handed, rather than letting anyone have anything without paying, even if the bagel shop throws away dozens of bagels at the end of each day, as most do. The poor employees come to regard the starving people as a nuisance, and the starving people blame the employees for not helping them, when really it is just capitalism pitting them against each other. And sadly enough, it is probably the employee who enforces ridiculous rules like this the most strictly who will advance to manager. Those who dare to spend their lives doing things that are not profitable generally get neither security nor status for their efforts. They may be doing things of great value to society, such as making art or music or doing social work. But if they can't turn a profit from these activities, they will have a hard time surviving, let alone gathering the resources to expand their projects. And, since power comes first and foremost from wealth, they will have little control over what goes on in their society as well. Thus, corporations that have no goals other than gathering more wealth and power for themselves always end up with more power over what goes on in a capitalist society than artists or social activists do. At the same time, few people can afford to spend much time doing things that are worthwhile but not lucrative. You can imagine what sort of effect this has.